here this morning. You know, we live in fearful times, as that song truly suggests. Troublesome times are here. And you know, many of us are afraid of a lot of things in life, many of them. I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning, if you will, to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Paul the Apostle writes and says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear," he says, "but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Paul says that God has not given you the spirit of fear, nor has he given me the spirit of fear. Now, if you were to read the Bible, you might say, "Well, now, doesn't the Bible say that we are to fear God and keep his commandments?" And you know what? You're precisely true. And that statement is found in the Old Testament by King Solomon, who taught us that we are to fear God. But the fear there is a reverential awe. It is not a terror of the divine one in heaven. There is a helpful fear and there is a hurtful fear. There is a fear that says that we are to respect God. And by the way, that's what the word fear actually means in the Hebrew. In that particular setting, that we are to honor God, that we are to fear him, that we are to respect him, that we are to declare his holiness, that we are to have no other God before us than Jehovah himself. But then there is also that hurtful fear that brings us pain and anxiety in our life. Jesus said, as you remember, that we are to fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. Recognize who he is, honor him. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, and that is the respect of God, the honor of God that we have for God. There is a fear, as I mentioned, that is hurtful. It is a fear that is debilitating. It is a fear that is destructive. It is a fear that is discouraging. It is a fear that is depressing, if you will. Now, if fear is often associated with depression and discouragement and debilitation, and if it is, if it's destructive, then how do we get rid of that fear? Well, I want to share with you this morning what I really believe enables us to conquer the fear that we see and that we have in life and living every day. I want to begin by telling you, first of all, how you deal with it. First of all, I would say that you admit your fear. Do you know there are a lot of people today that are unwilling to admit that they are fearful? If you were to ask them the question, "Are you afraid?" "Oh, no, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm ready to go bear hunting with a switch." You know, I mean, you hear people like that all the time. They often talk about what they're willing to do. "You know, I'm not afraid of anything." Well, I think probably all of us, if we would be honest, could truthfully say there are some legitimate fears that probably you and I have. I heard about a lady one time who was giving a party for her granddaughter. It was actually a birthday party, and she had gone all out. She had a caterer that was going to come, and she had hired a clown for the occasion. And just before the party started, there were two guys who showed up at her door, knocked on her door, and they wanted something to eat, and they wanted a handout. Well, feeling sorry for those two guys, the woman tells them that they can get a meal from her if they would be willing to chop some wood out back. Well, gratefully, they head to the rear of the house, and they start chopping the wood. Well, the guests began to arrive, and all is going well, and the children are having a wonderful, wonderful time, but the clown has not shown up yet. Finally, the clown calls in, he is stuck in traffic and will probably not make the party at all. Well, the woman is very discouraged and disappointed and unsuccessfully tries to entertain the children herself. Well, she happens to look out the window and sees one of those guys out back doing cartwheels. I mean, he's doing flips. He's grabbing the tree limbs. He's swinging from tree to tree and doing all these kinds of things. As she watches him swinging from the branches and doing mid-air flips, she gets all excited. And so she speaks to the other fellow who was with him, calls him over and says, "Hey, man, what your friend is doing is absolutely marvelous." And she said, "I have never seen anything like that in all of my life. Do you think that your friend would consider repeating that performance for the children at the party?" And she said, "I'll pay him $50 if he'll do it." Well, the other fellow says, "Well, I don't know about that. Let me ask him." So he goes back to his friend and he hollers at him and he says, "Hey, Joe, for $50, would you be willing to cut off another toe?" Well, believe it or not, there are some things that cause us great apprehension in life. There are some things that cause us to be fearful. And we're not real sure that we want to do it. If you've done it once, you're not real sure you want to do it again. There have been some things in my life that I have done, I wouldn't want to do it again. I wouldn't want to get on the roller coaster up to Six Flags again. I tried that once, and that was enough. Well, I can tell you a number of other things. But there are fears that are legitimate, and there are fears that are unwarranted. But we need to admit our fears, first of all. We often carry a fear with us every day. Did you know several years ago someone wrote Ann Landers, and by the way, Ann Landers said actually that every month she got a letter from someone, about 10,000 of them as a matter of fact, who were talking about their fears of life and living. And we know that there are all kind of phobias in the world. I've had a number of friends through the years that had claustrophobia. And, didn't like to be in closed places and tight places. And my good friend Don Bell, who used to be an elder in the church here, we'd go out to the hospital, Dale and I would, and Don, and Don would not get on the elevator. He just did not want on the elevator. Now he says, "Why don't y'all take the stairs with me?" Well, we would take the stairs after a while, but Don just would not get on that elevator. And if he did, he was constantly looking around, you know. But claustrophobia is a very serious thing. Anyway, we have what we call claustrophobia. There is acrophobia, that is the fear of heights. There is ergophobia, which is the fear of work. And I think we got a lot of folks like that in the world today. There is what they call demophobia, which is the fear of crowds. A lot of people are fearful. I've heard people say, "Oh, I'd come to church, but I'm just fearful of crowds." I'm not real sure that that's legitimate, because you often see them sitting on the bleachers at a ball game. anyway, there is that legitimate fear that people have sometimes. Howard Hughes, believe it or not, had a fear of getting germs. I'm told that he used 4 boxes of Kleenex in a day. And by the way, folks, that was before the swine flu. Well, We have a lot of people that are fearful about the swine flu today. And I really, actually, they're talking about pandemic, and it's really pandemonium more than a pandemic. But I'm going to tell you something. I really believe that maybe they're hyping that a little bit too much, and they're kind of making a mountain out of a molehill. Now, I guess if I ever got it, I wouldn't feel that way. But I know one thing for sure, that we are fearful and troubled about many things. We're like Martha. You remember when Jesus went to that small town of Bethany out of Jerusalem, and Jesus was coming to the community actually to be with his friends. And Mary was more interested in sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing what he was going to say. And Martha was inside cooking the meal. I mean, she had the brisket on. Everything was, she was getting ready for a big festivity. So anyway, she's a little troubled about the fact that Mary had gone out and she was interested in hearing what Jesus had to say instead of cleaning the house, get it all cleaned up, do all the vacuuming, wash the dishes, get it ready, set the table. And Jesus says to Martha, because Martha comes out and says, "Lord, would you ask my sister to help me? I mean, after all, look at that lazy lady over there." And so Jesus turns to her and says, "Martha, you are careful and troubled about a lot of things." Now, what he meant by that is that you are too upset. You know what? We get so fearful in life about a lot of things. We do. Now, I believe, first of all, if we're going to conquer our fear, then we're going to have to, first of all, admit our fear. The story of the parable of the talents is a great story that I think really illustrates sometimes the fear that we have. Do you remember that story recorded in Matthew chapter 25, where the master of the house had actually given a man 5 talents, And then he gave another two, and then he gave another man one, and challenged them to use them and to use them wisely. Well, the five-talent man went out, and he used that five talents, and he gained five talents beside. The man that had been given two went out and gained two talents beside. And the man that had been given one talent went and buried it in the heart of the earth. Now, the master came to reckon with him, and he comes to the five-talent man and says, "Blessed are you." He says, "You have gained five talents more, and that's a wonderful thing. God bless you." Says it to the same man that had gained two talents. But to the one-talent man who took what the Lord or the master had given him, he hid it in the earth. And Jesus, in this story, is the master, and he begins to deal with him, and he says, "Why did you hide my talent in the earth?" The Bible says that he dug in the earth and he hid it there. And here was his logic. He said, "I was afraid." Now, first of all, he begins to indict the master and the Lord with something that really was not true. He says that you are a hard taskmaster. He said, "I hid it in the earth because I was afraid." He said, "Because I knew that you are a hard man. And I could not measure up, and that you reap where you sow not." Now, God doesn't do that. Nowhere in the Word of God will you ever find where God is trying to reap where he has not sowed. As a matter of fact, it is counter to that in the Bible, in the book of Galatians 6, where the Bible says, "Be not mocked. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." And so God is only going to reap where he has sown. But this one talent man says, "I'm just going to be afraid, and my fear is going to lead me to hurt, and I'm going to bury that talent in the earth. And then when the Lord or the master comes again, I'll be able to give it back to him and say, you know, here's your talent, Lord." But that really wasn't what God was asking. I'm going to tell you something. When Christ comes again, he is not going to ask you to just present your life to him as one of holiness, but he is going to say, "What about the souls that you were asked to seek? What about the loss that you were asked to bring to me? What have you done with your own life?" You see, I believe that our fear will conquer our evangelistic thrust in our efforts to serve God. We cannot be like that one talent man who, because of fear, we become immobilized and neutralized, if you will. But we must be a people that are eager to serve God. Some are fearful of failure, but there are a lot of people in this life that are fearful of success. They are. And a lot of people are fearful of responsibility. I've heard people say, "Well, I don't want to get married and I don't want to have children because I'm afraid of responsibility." You better consider that before you enter into marriage and before you have children. Abnormal fear drives the engine of your life many times. And as I said, it can immobilize you. You just stand still where you are. You don't ever conquer anything. Now that brings us to the question, how do I overcome this fear? Well, let me share with you what I really believe that we must do. I think, first of all, that we have to activate our faith. Activate our faith. What do I mean by that? Well, we all know what faith means, and we say we do. We say that faith is just mental assent, that it's really assenting to the fact that there's a God in heaven and that we believe in Jehovah, and so therefore I have faith. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, according to the Bible, that faith is much more than just believing in God. And God requires much more of us than just believing in him or believing that he exists. We have to activate our faith. It is the only antidote for fear in your life. You want to conquer your fears? You may have fear this morning. You may have fear about your finances. You may have fear about your marriage. You may have fear about your children. You may have fear about your health. You may have fear about the hereafter. You may have fear about the economy. You may have fear about swine flu. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I know one thing, that our faith is the only thing that is the antidote for the fears that we have in life. And when fear increases, your faith will decrease. But when your faith increases, then your fears will decrease. When one goes up, the other will come down. And the only time you fear something is when you or someone else cannot handle the problem that you are dealing with. But did you know that the Bible says that you have the power to deal with your problem? You do. Now, these people say, well, I'm powerless. I'm just powerless. I can't deal with my... Sure you can. John writes and says, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. He says, God is greater than you. He is greater than any fear that you might possess in your life. 1 John 4 and verse 4 and following. No fear, there is no fear that you cannot conquer. And there is no problem that you, with the help of Almighty God, cannot solve. You can. A lot of people just don't believe that. We just have to exercise our faith in God and activate it. Listen to David in Psalms 27, verse 1. He said, the Lord is my light, and he is my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? Or of whom will I be afraid? You know, a lot of people sometimes brag about the fact that they're not fearful of anything. As I said, a lot of people do that all the time. Sometimes I wonder about people like that are afraid to admit their fears. You may remember the story about the man who was going around town. You know, he's bragging about people he could beat up. I mean, he was a big guy, you know, but he was bragging about people that he could just whip up on. He said, I can just mop the floor up with all these people around town. He said, I'm not afraid of anybody. Well, anyway, he said, I've got a long list of people here that I can beat up right here. And anyway, a great big guy one time came up to him, and he looked like a big Dallas Cowboy lineman. I mean, he was about 6'8", 6'9", tall, weighed about 300 pounds. And he came up to the fellow and he said, say, sir, he said, I understand that you have my list, my name on your list of people that you can beat up. He said, yep. He said, that's right. He said, I've got your name right here, right here. And he said, well, fella, he said, I'll tell you one thing for sure. He says, you are not going to beat me up. He said, I'll beat the Pope out of you. And he said, I'll just lay you out cold. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll just scratch your name off the list. Well, there are a lot of folks in the world who always brag about what they're going to do and how I'm going to do it. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. We have to admit our fears. And then we have to activate our faith. Sometimes people say, well, I just don't understand why I'm facing this dilemma in life. I can't understand why God brought me to this point. Let me tell you something and reassure you, and I mean this sincerely. If God brought you to it, God will bring you through it. Now, sometimes we get ourselves in a big mess and we are our own worst problem. And we blame God with it. But let me tell you, if God brings you to it, if God brings you to it, he'll see you through it. Always remember that. Good example of that is when Moses was at the brink of the Red Sea and the Israelites were in behind him. And they're getting ready to drown, so they think. And the Bible says that Moses stretches forth his rod across the sea. And at the stretching of that rod across the sea and the activation of his faith in God, the waters began to part. Can't you imagine what was going on in the mind of Moses? Can you imagine what was going on in the mind of those who stood there at the brink of that sea and they saw those waters begin to part? And the hand of God holding them back, while all of the army of Israel and all of the servants of God, thousands of them, marched across on dry land. Now, Moses had faith, but the people had fear. And Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And you know what he did? They were still afraid, and so Moses again says, "Move forward." And you know what? The way that we get rid of our fear is by moving forward. Moving forward. God loves us with a perfect love. And in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, John says that there is no fear in love. Now I'm talking about terror. There is no fear in love. But perfect love, he says, casteth out all fear. And then he says, for fear hath torment. I've seen people who were literally tormented by their fear day in and day out. They were afraid to do anything. They were afraid to take a step. God will use whatever comes into your life. Romans 8:28 says, "For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." And I want you to notice again that 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says that God hath given us not the spirit of fear, but he has given us of his power and of his love and of a sound mind. You know what a sound mind is? A sound mind is one that is not moved by fear, but it is one that is moved by faith. Fear causes people to do a lot of things. People do crazy things when they're fearful. It's amazing. You remember 911 when they were jumping out of buildings in New York? You read much about the Depression, you will remember that people were doing the same thing. Jumping out of windows, committing suicide, giving up their lives because of fear. One thing we need to remember in this thing of activating our faith is that educators know that most of the fears that we have are unwarranted and unreal. The University of Michigan, not too long ago, did a survey and actually trying to determine just how people felt about fear and faith and how they dealt with things in life. And they determined that 60% of the fears that people have are unwarranted totally. And only, now listen to this, this blows your mind, only 2% of our fears are real. Now, I told you there's a good fear, there's a bad fear. Fear of losing your life is going to keep you from going out there and standing in the middle of the road and letting a car hit you and take your life. That's a healthy fear. But people who live in the unknown and say, well, this might happen, that might happen, what happened? You know, Adam was telling me the other day that people had already bought up out there at Walmart all of those little bottles of hand sanitizer. I don't know why y'all are laughing. You probably bought half of it. I bought the other half. But you know what I'm saying. But people are fearful about a lot. Now I'm told that, by the way, Adam, all that sanitizer stuff, they say is not real good for your hands. Good for Walmart. But anyway, you know, maybe what you do is eliminate all the good germs on your hand. And you just constantly use that thing. That was kind of the way Howard Hughes lived. I mean, he actually did. He lived by fear. He was fearful of everything. Fearful of germs. I've seen people that are obsessive compulsive that are fearful of germs to that degree. Only 2% of our fears are real. In Psalms 56 and verse 3, David thought his enemies were about to kill him. And he makes a statement to God. He says, when I am afraid, I trust in thee, O God. Solomon in the book of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, but all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Listen to David again in Psalms 112 and verse 7. He says, he will not fear the evil tidings, he says, because my heart is set on God. It's like that psalm we were singing a moment ago, as the deer, and by the way, that comes from the Psalms, as the heart panteth after the water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Well, that brings us to a point. Admit your fears, activate your faith, but how do you activate your faith? Now, this gets down to where the rubber meets the road. You have to acknowledge your Father who is in heaven. Isaiah 12 and 2, the prophet said, I will trust and I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will focus on the Father and not on my fears. Listen to this again. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us of his power and of his love and of a sound mind. He did it. He is the one who takes care of us. He has cared for us in the past. He is the one who is sheltering us even now. The Bible talks about his sheltering arm and the covert of his love. He takes care of us now, and he'll take care of us in the future. And so we have to increase our faith and acknowledge him. Isn't that what Proverbs 3:6 says again? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he will direct thy paths. Acknowledge him. I had the opportunity yesterday to speak on the Southeast Texas lectureship. Some of the speakers focused on that one thought, acknowledging God. Know how we need to acknowledge God. And we need to put our faith in gear. And that comes by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of the Lord. You know, a lot of people are like armadillos. You ever seen these armadillos laying out on the side of the road, or out in the middle of the road generally is where you see them? You ever wonder why you see them out in the middle of the road instead of on the side of the road? It's because actually, most of the time, when they're out in the middle of the road, when you go over them, now listen, you don't hit them with your wheel. You know how they die most of the time? Any of you know? You know how, Jim? How they die, Jim? They jump up. That's right. When you go over that armadillo, that armadillo just jumps straight up, and your car just literally wipes him out. That's the way he dies. And you know what? That's the way that many of us die, isn't it? Spiritually speaking. Is that when a particular situation comes along, instead of just jumping up, we ought to turn to God and activate our faith and say, God, I know that there is no problem in this world that you and I cannot handle together. We can deal with it. And Romans 8 and 31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Why, even the most expensive real estate in New York could not keep others from bringing it down. But you know what? We have a greater tower. We have one of whom the Bible says he is a strong and mighty tower. And that is Almighty God. And he is the one that enables us to conquer our fear and to activate our faith. And that's why we call upon him. That's why we gather this morning. We have not gathered here this morning because this is just some kind of ritual that we're going through. But we've gathered here this morning because we believe in Jehovah God. And we believe that he is the one that does give us his power to live for him. He is the one that enables us to conquer our fears. Even the fear of death itself and the fear of the tomb. And that's why Paul could say when he came to the end of his life, I'm not fearful. For to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And so we know when the Christian dies that we go to be with God. And I guess the real question this morning is when you leave this world, will you be with God? Now I told you there's a helpful fear and a hurtful one. There's a warranted and an unwarranted fear. And I would remind you again of what Jesus said when he said, fear not him that can destroy the body. Because if you're a Christian, you're going to live with God when this world's over anyway, or whatever happens to you. But rather fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. And if you're not a Christian, you ought to fear the latter. If you're not a child of God, listen, you ought to fear it so much that you would do something about it. You ought to fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell so much that you will say, Lord, I believe in you and I believe on you. And my belief on you leads me to repent of my sin and to confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Son of God and to be buried with him in baptism at your command, that I might be raised out of that water to live the new life. A life that is free from sin and free from fear. Someone said, fear knocked at the door. Faith answered and fear left. Someone said, faith knocked at the door. Fear answered and faith left. Which is stronger in your life this morning, your faith or your fear? And you can change your fear by activating your faith and acknowledging God. And this morning, if you believe that, and I hope you believe it, I hope you honestly and sincerely believe it with all of your heart. You may be facing a crisis in your life today. You're fearful of the outcome. You don't know exactly where it may go from here. Trust God. Activate your faith. Acknowledge the Father. He will lead you. Trust in him with all of your heart. Acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And this morning, that choice rests with you. And it's a decision that we all make every day. We make it every morning when we get out of bed. Will I live by faith today, or will I live by fear? Which will be stronger? I hope faith will dominate, and I hope that your faith will take over right now while we stand and while we sing.